Swakataha.
His own words.
Krishna,
Krishna,
the personality of Godhead.
Purnya,
virtues.
Shravana,
hearing. Kirtanaha, chanting. Hridi antahastha,
within one's heart.
He certainly.
Abhadrani,
desire to enjoy matter.
Vidhunoti,
cleanses.
Suhrita,
benefactor.
Satam,
of the truthful.
Translation.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Please repeat.
Shri Krishna.
The personality of Godhead.
Who is the Paramatma?
Supersoul.
In everyone's heart.
And the benefactor.
Of the truthful devotee.
Cleanses desire.
For material enjoyment.
From the heart of the devotee.
Who has developed the urge to hear his messages,
which are in themselves virtuous
when properly heard and chanted.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Messages of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are non different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshashtaka, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that He has endowed His innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at His convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that He can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We've already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to His devotees. When He sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about Him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to Him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into His kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord Himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial. And it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shilakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave nama shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kada mahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrinvatam Sukatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyantastho Yagadrani Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma Supersoul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The first point that Srila Prabhupada makes in his purport is that Lord is not different from his name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. Particularly, we're talking today about his, well, what was already called elsewhere, Uttama Shloka, the wonderful descriptions of the Lord. These descriptions, including his name, they have the potency to wipe out whatever sins have accumulated within our hearts, whatever anarthas are lingering within our hearts, they have the potency to clear them out, all of them. very quickly also. The only thing is that the qualification here is implied, suhrit satam. We have to be suhrit and we have to be sat. Sat means real. Suhrit means well-intentioned. Then this natural, this simple process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and hearing about the messages of the Lord from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc. Here the words, Srila Prabhupada has glossed the words, Swakata, as his own words. So that would include Bhagavad Gita for sure. Some acharyas even say that Srimad Bhagavatam was originally spoken by Krishna as well. Anyway, when we are sincere about hearing, and sincere hearing means sincere acting, this is the qualification, then the Lord cleanses the heart, vidunoti. He cleanses everything. This brings to mind a very wonderful verse, similar verse also. Well, there are many. This verse is actually repeated several times throughout the Bhagavatam in various ways, slightly different variant versions. But in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Pungsan kalikritan doshan dravyadeshatma sambhavan sarvan harati chittastho bhagavan purushottama. Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam, he is within the hearts of all living entities, that's implied at least here, Hridiyam Tastha. And when we are engaged in this process of sincerely hearing and sincerely chanting, then the Lord wipes out three categories of abhadras from within our hearts, which he specifies in the 11th canto. Dravya sambhava doshas. That means we're working with faulty materials, including our material body. Not everyone's body is perfect. In fact, no one's body is perfect. So, that's one problem. Or we don't have enough facility. We don't have enough assets, we don't have enough whatever it is. That's called dravya, material things. We don't have enough. And then desha sambhava doshas. These are inadequacies that are created by our faulty environment. And no one has to be told in today's world that the environment is faulty. I was recently in Seattle, and in Seattle the temple is just outside of the city, quite a ways outside of the city, actually. And actually, every time I go there, it's striking. It's very salient. Immediately, one is struck by the fact that the air is clean. Here in Los Angeles, the air is not clean. Where I live in Vrindavan, also, the air is not clean. Anyway, so the environment is also faulty. Not just the physical environment, also the social environment is very faulty. Society is permeated by people who are overwhelmed by strong, mundane desires, even sinful desires, which gives rise to various ideologies that circulate throughout humanity about how there's, in one way or another, they're saying there's no God, or God is not irrelevant, or you can't reach him, or there's only so many anarthas that are possible. And the same worldviews, they recirculate from time to time in various slightly different ways, in exactly the same way that this verse is repeated in various ways throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whether it's the karma path, and that includes sinful activity as well as virtuous activity, or whether it's the mukti path, the gyan path, which involves various modes of escape from the Supreme Lord or his representatives or injunctions or reactions of our own sinful deeds. There's only so many anarthas, and they create so many misconceptions. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, People who are not following this process can't understand how a living entity is transported from one body to another one. But a person whose eyes are trained in knowledge, in other words, a person who's acting on what he's hearing, that person is able to see everything very clearly. And it's just like the air carrying aromas. The air is carrying some smell of something. Maybe your neighbor is cooking something and you can smell it. See? Like this. So in the same way, so many worldviews are circulating, like so many aromas in the air. And we have to smell these, and we get contaminated by them. This is the nature of our desha, our situation. And practically the whole world can be called one country now, because cultural homogenization is the precursor for neo-imperialism. I mean to say, well, let's restate this. If you want to exploit the entire world, first you have to culturally homogenize that world. You have to erase all distinctions in cultures, and that's what's being done in the modern world. Everyone is being inducted into this fast food, fast women, fast cars, fast burnout culture that we call 21st century modern life. And of course, we said the atheistic ideas that perpetuate that unprecedentedly destructive environment, and which exports it worldwide, even to those who don't want it, and who therefore have to strike back at us with terrorism in order to protect their own civilizations. So this is desha sambhava doshas. All these things are contamination of our environment. So that's another kind of problem that we have to deal with in our hearts every day. And then finally, he says, the third category of an artist, he tells Uddhava about, atma sambhava doshas, the things that we've brought with us from our past, because everybody has a past. Have you ever heard this saying? Every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. So we've all had so many experiences in material life. Sometimes we are Indra, sometimes we are Rakshasas, sometimes we're somewhere in between, sometimes we're 8,400,000 different options. Human life allows us to choose which one we prefer now. And so we've all accumulated so much psychological dross within our subtle body, and that is what perpetuates us on from life to life. It's called samskara, the impression left on our mind by any activity, especially sinful activity, really has a very strong influence, but devotional activity is even stronger than that. This is our saving grace. So the essence of this devotional activity in this Kali Yuga, as Krishna points out, is this Punya Shravana Kirtana process. Krishna himself, there are three words here. Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, and Hridayantastha. These are the three words that all indicate the same thing in this verse. And they suggest that they're all the same person. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by discussing Lord Krishna and his messages are non-different. Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is called, in Sanskrit, a Bohuvrihi Samas, a compound that qualifies a word that's outside of itself. So, Punya Shravana Kirtana is qualifying Krishna, the word Krishna here. And it's also further qualified by the phrase Vidyantastha, within the heart. Krishna effects all this, as Paramatma, as Prabhupada's translation therefore represents. So that's one thing. Krishna and his own holy name are all-powerful, and they will purify us. They have the same potency of the Lord, provided that we chant the holy name with two things. What did Prabhupada say? Anybody remember in the purport? About midway through the first paragraph. Attentive and reverent. These are the two things. We have to pay attention, and we have to be reverent. We were talking about this the other day. Krishna's here for us. He comes in the form of his holy name. And we just really don't believe it, that this holy name, or even this Bhagavata Katha, we don't really believe that it's the personality of Godhead in person. We don't believe it. This is the problem. Faith is the problem. So, adau shraddha, in the beginning you have to take whatever faith you can muster, and you have to invest that in the process of sadhu sangha. We know that the natural characteristic of sadhu sangha is that you will be engaged in this punya shravana kirtana process. Thereby you attain anarjanivritti. This is described by the acharyas commenting on this verse, particularly in the next verse, an equally famous one. They're all famous in this second chapter. But the Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound, but unfortunately we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. And Srila Prabhupada reminds us now, because it's very important, how do we get a taste? In the service to the pure devotee. Syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtana shevana ityadi. Okay, so that's the first paragraph, and then he adds, the Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. That means that Krishna always responds. He always, unfailingly responds. Sometimes he doesn't respond in the way that we want him to respond. Sometimes he responds in his own time, for his own reasons. But he always responds. This is the point. And Prabhupada has used this adverb here, reciprocally. He responds in accordance to our own participation, we can say, in the process. So what does that mean? When we are chanting with reverence and attention, and when we are sat, pure in our activities, in our lives, we've purified our existence, and suhrit, we have only good intentions. Sridhar Swami here commenting on this verse, he says, satam suhrit hitakari. He's thinking of the welfare of someone else, hitakari. This is the definition that he gives of the term, of the phrase suhrit satam. Then the Lord will reciprocate in the maximum degree. And then therefore Srila Prabhupada prods us a little bit in his purport. He says, when the Lord sees that a devotee is completely sincere, right, raise your hand if you're completely sincere. Most of us know that we're not completely sincere. We are all sincere. We have sincerity, no doubt. But are we completely sincere? This is the problem. So when the Lord sees that we're completely sincere in getting admittance, admittance means somebody has to let you in. You need a sponsor to get into this place. What place? The transcendental service of the Lord, because service can be mundane. Even devotional service can be mundane. What, we have a term for that. What is it called? Mundane devotional service? Prakrita bhakti. And the persons who practice mundane devotional service are called prakrita bhaktas, materialistic devotees. They want to do something for immediate benefit rather than ultimate benefit. They're using devotional service for their own purposes. This is the point. So that kind of performance doesn't really impress the Lord. But when he sees that we're completely sincere in gaining admittance to the transcendental service, just like you have a transcendental name and you have a chaya name, a namabhasa. So you have transcendental service and you have this chaya service. If the spiritual master is pleased with you, then your service is accepted, even though it's not really transcendental yet. This is the point. Therefore, and Prabhupada is also emphasized later on in his purport, the role of divine grace. His divine grace. Whose divine grace? Krishna's divine grace. So, Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. There was a doctor in Vrindavan that I went to see one time. Funny things happen in Vrindavan, so I woke up with excruciating back pain one day, and it lasted for several days. It wasn't going away. I could hardly sit down, I could hardly move. So I went to this Russian lady, some sort of healer. She is very wise, sincere devotee also. So after taking care of my back, she said, whenever I have patients come to see me, I try to talk to them a little bit about Krishna, and I always ask them one question. She said, if you had a choice, what would you do? Here are your two choices. The first choice is that you can have a full life of health, friends, wealth, popularity, assets, prestige, good career, family, you name it. Everything that you want in this world, you can have it. And in the end, you go back to Godhead as well. Sounds pretty good, right? That's choice number one. So how could it get better than that? She said, choice number two is that Krishna comes within the next minute or two and takes you personally back to Godhead by the hand. Which one would you choose? She said, invariably, all of the patients that I've asked this question, they all choose option number one. Yes, yes, I want to go back to Godhead, but later. So, therefore, we're not completely sincere yet. But we have been given wonderful opportunity to become completely sincere if we simply follow this simple process of Punya Shravana Kirtana in good association, because that good association is what will drive our determination to follow the process. Tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya anartana vritti syat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas commenting on this passage, they point out that what are we talking about here when we talk about the abhadras? We're talking about anartas, all the anartas. So this process of anartha nivritti, that should be affected by taking shelter of good association, following the process very reverentially, very attentively, very thankfully also, in good association, with all sincerity. And Krishna helps us in all respects, Srila Prabhupada writes here. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. Perfectly. So that's a tall order. But this is the verse I quoted in the beginning, therefore, from 11th canto. Saravan Hariti. He removes all of them. Everything. Chittastho Bhagavan. Chittastho Bhagavan means the same thing here as Hridayantastho Krishna. Same thing. From within the heart, when he sees that we're sincere, then he purifies us. Now, the next sentence in the third paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. Simple sentence, but very, very powerful. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. The real problem is that we're envious. All the problems that challenge us in our attempt to reawaken pure devotional service, they're only instruments. They serve the instrumental function of humoring our dogged determination to compete with Krishna, to exploit his things, to evade his authority in various ways, as we were describing earlier. Karma jnana. So, many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements. What are the two allurements that Prabhupada specifically names? Women and wealth. These are instruments. These are the instruments. Main instruments for most people in this world. And whatever other material desires we have, they are manifestations of these anartas, or these anartas are manifestations of the general desire to evade Krishna. These are products. We commit activities and then we become entangled, and then these anarthas become solidified. It's like watering your garden. When we take care of tulsi, it's not very easy to take care of tulsi. Maybe here in Los Angeles it is, but in other places it's very difficult. You have to use very fertilizer, sometimes you have to put grow lights, you have to be very careful to make sure that her environment is very stable, and so many things you have to do. So, in the same way, it's like we nourish our anarthas. We ourselves take very care to preserve them within our hearts. Make sure that nobody finds out what they are, we make sure that we don't listen to anything that threatens them. We make sure that everything is very protected very carefully because we're cultivating these anarthas. This is what it means to maintain material attachments. So, women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress. Many stalwarts fell to this and thus retreated from the path of liberation. It's a very common observance. We find that after some time in Krishna consciousness, people generally retreat a little bit, isn't it? Have we noticed that? We retreat from staunch devotional service because it's not easy. Not easy means we're envious. That's really all it comes down to. We're just envious. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. He reminds us that it's not what you are, it's what you're covered by. But you have to be patient. You have, what is it, utsaham, nishayat, taryat, tattat karma pravartanat, ityadi. Means, these are the means by which we push through with this process of punya shravana kirtana, if we are sukrit and satam, and we should be patient and understand that it will take some time. And we should have to be determined, therefore, and keep on with the process, and not only keep on with the process, but niyamagraha means you have to be enthusiastic. Otherwise, it's just following the rules and regulations for the sake of following them and not for the sake of advancement, or we retreat and give up some of them, as we mentioned already. So utsaha has to be there. This combination of these six things that he recommends, Rupa Goswami, for the complete success of pure devotional service, it's not really easy to maintain them. Therefore, Krishna advises, he hints at least to Arjuna, that once somebody becomes really Purnyatma, pure, purified existence, he's undergone the process of sattva samshuti, purification of his mundane existence, and is fixed in piety and relieved of the reactions of his previous sins, that person can persevere with a mature commitment to pure devotional service. He can follow these six very steadily. That's called nishtha, and it is the fruit of anarthanivritti. So, if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. That is to say, we look at these anarthas, one day we wake up and see, you know what, I really don't need this anymore. I don't really, I was in illusion the whole time. This thing is not necessary for me. In other words, he realizes this is a foreign nature that has been superimposed upon my mind. Okay? By the grace of God, such devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. What is the state of disturbance? That is the pre-anarthanivritti stage, or even during the anarthanivritti stage. And most devotees, according to the statistics that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, most devotees spend their entire life either in the process of anarthavritti, or not even in the process of anarthavritti yet. They are pious, they have some sentiment for Krishna consciousness, but they are material devotees. This is the point. So, we gradually realize our real position if we are engaged in hearing and chanting in these ways. And then we get sufficient strength How? What does Prabhupada say in the last sentence here? By the grace of God, the divine grace of God. Where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? How could we begin to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam? Where was Srimad Bhagavatam even available? You see? This is called amazing grace. Amazing grace of God. Okay, so by the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Mind, you know, and heart, they're the same thing in Sanskrit. It's a different concept. So these are just a few things. What else? Sridhar Swami writes here, Hridi Yanya Bhadrani Kama Divasanas Tani. What does he mean by abhadras? All the urges that we have within our hearts. Vasana, it's a very nice word. It's hard to translate in English because we don't have the concept in English, therefore we don't have the word. But it means the general urge of a conditioned soul to either compete with Krishna or try to avoid Krishna. This is called vasana. 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 We find it sometimes, but it's not very often used. And he says, kamadi, beginning with lust. This is Srila Prabhupada has taken the cue from Sridhar Swami in its purport, therefore he's mentioned women. And Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur similarly says, shanvatam iti kramena shlavana kirtane ukte. The person has to undergo these stages in order, beginning with Shravana Kirtana, that is the process of Bhajana Kriya that Rupa Goswami mentions. Tatascha, then, Hridiyanya Bhadrani Papani Atani Antastha. Son, whatever sins or sinful reactions or sinful tendencies, those are also sinful reactions. The sinful reactions are either prarabdha, meaning what we have to undergo in this life, or aprarabdha, meaning whatever stains have been left in the subtle body. We may not undergo them now, but they're having their effect nonetheless, in a subtle way. So he says all those things are cleansed only afterwards, only after we undergo this process of, or begin this process of Shravana Kirtana. Iti Smarana. This is called Smarana, because the next thing is Smarana. In Vrindavan, where I live, it's very popular. People want to come and engage in Lila Smarana, remembering of the Lord's eightfold daily pastimes, and there are enough people ready to teach you how to do that, they claim. But in fact, that's not possible until the heart is completely cleared. This is what Prabhupada has written here. It's not possible. And this is confirmed here in his commentary by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. The process of smarana means all these sins have been cleansed out by the process of hearing and chanting in good association. So I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or comments, we can maybe... Prabhupati Prabhu.
So, if I'm coming to class, that's hearing about Krishna, we're engaging in hearing, right? And like, for instance, when on Sunday we'll hear Prabhupada lecture, that's hearing. I mean, anytime you're hearing Prabhupada, you're hearing about Krishna. Would that be correct?
Of course.
And any service that somebody does around the temple just to help in some way or another, would that be considered service to the pure Lord?
Why not? If we are acting under his instructions, that is what service means, to follow the instructions. Simple question, simple answer. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? That's probably me.
Thank you so much. Can you please explain about the difference between sin into the Christian theology versus the Vedic concept of God?
Well, I'm not an expert in Christian theology, so I don't know if I can do that. But, Papa, we have two kinds of action in our literatures. Of course, in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it's very hard to distinguish the distinction between karma, vikarma, and akarma. That is to say, scripturally enjoined action, other kinds of action, and inaction. That's why we have spiritual masters. They can help us with this. But generally, papa means vikarma, sinful activities, to do anything that is not in accordance with the Vedas or not explicitly enjoined by the Vedas or their corollary literatures as well.
So Karmananda, even though it entangles the living entity into the cycle of fever, is not considered sin?
It's not considered sin, but it is entangling and it is considered mundane. As I said, there's two things. There's punya and there's papa, or there's karma and vikarma. So karma is not necessarily always sinful. Sometimes it's pious karma, but in principle, it's still godless. In that sense, you can say it's sinful. And that maybe approaches the Judeo-Christian concept of turning away. Just like Srila Prabhupada, since he's mentioned here in this, women and wealth. So with regards to women in particular, and for women that means men, when we talk about illicit sex, Srila Prabhupada often says, actually all sex life is illicit, in principle. Even the life of a pious householder is actually not authorized in terms of, when we're looking at it in terms of pure devotional service. See, there's a whole class of persons who are very keen on very strictly following all the injunctions of pious action that are given in the Vedas. In fact, Jadasandha was one of them. I was reading last night. He was very, very scrupulous and very conscientious about what kind of activity? Anybody remember? He liked to do what?
Charity.
He liked to give charity to the Brahmins. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita also, even for the pure devotees, he's speaking, sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. So even Jarasandha was doing this, but what was his motivation? A person may, Niyamagra, we were speaking about this also. Niyamagra means either you don't follow the principles or you follow them for your own purpose. So according to Ayurveda, didn't chart out. If you wake up later than sunrise, that circulates all sorts of filth throughout your body. You have to wake up before sunrise. You have to eliminate that mala, waste products from the body, they're contaminating, and you have to shower. If you don't do those things, it will be disease. So, eventually. So if a person follows those principles only for the sake of health, and not for the sake of actually pleasing Krishna or making spiritual advancement, then this is Niyamagraha, you see. So in principle, even karma is sinful. Therefore, in Padyavali, there's one very nice verse written by Vishnupuri, compiled by Rupa Goswami. Vishnupuri says, I don't see any difference between punya and papa, and neither do, for no pure devotee does. For example, Lord Shiva, he takes the moon, which emanates nectar, on his head, but he takes the snakes that emanate poison around his neck. So he doesn't make any distinction, meaning a devotee is transcendental to both of them. That's why we sometimes find these statements in the Shastra among the pure devotees, that I don't care about dharma, I don't care about adharma, I don't care about anything. Otherwise, how can Arjuna kill his superiors at Kurukshetra? So, something that we need to be reminded, I think, is that the principle of yukta vairagya, or employing anything favorable in Krishna's service, that does not just mean that if something is sinful, you can offer it to Krishna. It means that if the spiritual master orders you to engage in pious activity in your material life, then you have to do that. Otherwise, it becomes a nama-paratha. Is that clear? Anything else? Yes. Karunatarini.
I was just wondering if you could explain Prakriti Bhakti a little bit more, because I don't understand, like, what are the symptoms of it? What is it? How much are we doing? Or
the Prabhupada always discusses Prakriti Bhakti or Prakriti Bhaktas in terms of these three categories of devotees, the Uttama Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, the Kanishta Adhikari. The Kanishta Adhikari, his characteristics will also characterize the kind of devotional service that he performs. As long as he pleases the spiritual master, then he's accepted as a devotee and his devotional service is also accepted by Krishna. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadam. Etc. But if he's not pleasing the spiritual master, then he has no claim anymore, because he's actually not qualified to perform this. In the same way that when we chant the holy name offensively, then our chanting, not when we chant, because we're all sincere to some degree, but when an insincere person chants the holy name, for example, we have this famous Mayavadi kirtana. What was his name? Krishnadas. And I have actually heard ISKCON devotees listening to this rascal's kirtan. Yeah. So Prabhupada writes in one very noted purport of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the Mayavadis are chanting Krishna's name, because they're actually offenders, deliberate offenders, that chanting is not spiritual and it does not benefit them. And generally they won't chant Krishna's direct names anyway. They will chant indirect names like Vibhu, Chaitanya, Ishwara, Bhagavan, ityadi. But they will not be interested to sing the name of Yashoda, Nandana, Shyam Sundara, Hare Krishna, like that. So it's possible to chant the holy name in a mundane way, and it's also possible to perform devotional service in a mundane way. Chanting is just one of nine aspects of devotional service. So generally the characteristics of the Kanishta Bhakta will describe that Kanishta or Prakriti Bhakti as well. Is that okay?
So Prakriti Bhakti would be the same as Kanishta
Adhikari.
Service?
I think for us we can say that, yeah. I think so. I would put it into two divisions. If a person is sincere and in the good grace of his spiritual master, then that is accepted as devotional service. It's not completely mundane. Because he has a sponsor for his soul, as we mentioned in the beginning. But for a person who's insincere, that devotion is completely material, so-called devotion. And Rupa Goswami says, therefore, it's just a useless disturbance in society. Utpata iva kalpate. Because he's not really surrendering to the process. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, we should stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Shiva.